hi, this is Bad Star, artist and back girl, and I am close personal friends with the Quarter Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast that hasn't been fired by Donald Trump yet. We're brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con, October 20th through the 22nd at the DeVos Place. Come on down, get on out there, get all the details at grcomiccon.com. Big announcements still coming this week from them, so like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter so you always know what's going on with the best con in the Midwest. I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm John.
And we are your Court of Nerds. This week, we're going to talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, full-on spoiler conversation. So if you don't want the spoilers, hey, just listen to us after you see the movie, because you're going to go see the movie. Plus, we want to give a little recap of our free comic book day experience. But first and foremost, John's got the news.
I got the news. Here it is. Quick and easy. Nintendo has filed a trademark for a Bowser video game.
Ooh.
Looks like the big guy's finally getting his due.
That's right. Us big fellas. You know, Bowser was always my favorite to play with in Mario Kart.
I love Bowser.
Yeah, I'd always go Bowser or Wario because I was like, oh, big bad dudes. What's up?
So the following, I guess, is tongue-in-cheek. I read the article, but I didn't really know how to take it. But then I understand it now. So our close personal friend, Kyle Andrews, is back for round two. Renata Jones, freelancer by Image Comics, promises a complete luxury experience in season two, from beginning to bloody end. And I quote, I have a simple message for the wicked, the selfish, and the entitled. I've got your backs, baby. It's all good. Renata Jones, freelancer, hits shelves May 10.
It's going to be awesome. The covers look great. The stuff Kari's been rolling out in advance is incredible. This was a book that was on our top 10 list of 2016. It is likely to land there again in 2017 if Kari keeps up the quality, which, god darn, it's going to be hard not to do.
Indeed. Now, Hellboy looks to be getting a third installment after all, but look for it to be an R-rated reboot from Neil Marshall and starring Stranger Things actor David Harbour, who played the cop.
Sounds like something that we could use some coffee and contemplation for.
I guess we could talk about it a little bit.
Maybe. I don't know. I'd like Grant to do that, but, you know, we'll get on Grant about it. He's the Hellboy boy.
So we got a DC Hellboy first boy? Look at the Dark Multiverse. Dark Days, The Forge, number one. New York Times best-selling writer and close personal friend of the show, Scott Snyder.
Nice.
Along with James Tynion IV, collaborate with artists Andy Kubert, Jim Lee, and John Romita Jr. to bring this to life. Batman is suspected of hiding a dark secret that could threaten the multiverse. This series, spearheaded by Snyder, will expand the DCU as we know it, revealing the world that the world our favorite DC characters still has many areas left uncharted. Dark Days of Forge hits shelf June 14.
This is and Stacey, I know you're not big comic girl, but this is two of DC's hottest writers right now with three of the best artists in the game. So this is going to be spectacular. This is a summer blockbuster is what this is.
Oh, yeah. He even kind of hinted that us last time he was on.
That this was a big project he was working on. If you haven't heard our interview with Scott Snyder, please go and listen to it. It's one of the few things that I'm proud of in this life.
And we are going to try to get him back on for you guys, maybe talk about this a little more.
I would love to hear his thoughts on it.
So, four video games have joined the Video Game Hall of Fame. The 2017 inductees include Donkey Kong OG, Street Fighter II, Pokemon Red and Green, the Japanese versions, and Halo Combat Evolved from the Xbox regular, original.
The OG.
Final Fantasy VII, Mortal Kombat, and Tomb Raider were nominated, but ultimately left out, which I find to be crazy that Final Fantasy VII got left out.
Final Fantasy VII is one of those games that, you know, nerd gamers nerd about.
Like, you need to play this if you're a... Was it our MPG, RPG? I don't know what it is.
But I don't know
one,
either.
Like one of that genre of it is what you need to play if you want to play or you like those games. Anyway, Blade Runner 2049's first trailer starring Ryan Gosling, Harrison Ford, David Bautista, and Jared Leto has been released and it looks fantastic. Bringing old elements in and new characters to a chaos-filled world, look for the star-powered sci-fi charade to hit theaters October 6, 2017. And to lead in to today's topic, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 debuted with an impressive $145 million domestic gross and $435 million overall, making it already the sixth highest grossing movie of 2017 in its first weekend.
What was the budget for the Guardians? Do you know?
It was not released.
Wasn't released.
I don't know.
No. Here's the thing, though, and this
probably
is,
made its money back in the first.
Week, I would assume so.
I would hope so.
I would assume so.
It was no. It with can't that kind be any. It can't be any more than 170 million. I don't think they put 200 into this one. Now 200 into Civil War or Infinity War, because we know that's going to cost them actually over. I think $1 billion.
They said over $1 billion to make the two-part. But it's
the
two-part.
Both
okay.
movies.
I was
going to
say, that seems
and,
excessive.
And you have to pay, I mean, the amount of stars, just the budget for
you
the stars.
Downey,
you're looking
50
at.
Million.
Yeah.
It costs $50 million just for Downey.
Yeah. So Robert Downey Jr., $50
or
million.
Something like that.
Pratt's quote can't be too low.
ScarJo,
Chris Evans. I mean, allegedly,
that's
I think
fair.
Idris Elba is supposed to be in this one as well. Mm-hmm. Hemsworth isn't cheap. You know, I'm sure Tom Holland is the cheapest actor on set, which has got to be crazy for him that he's showing up in a Pinto when they're all driving Ferraris. But still, I'll say this. I think that Guardians will hold steady at one of those top five grossing films of the year positions until Wonder Woman comes out. I think Wonder Woman might blow it out of the water if it's good. Spider-Man, I think, is going to blow it way out of the water. I think Spider-Man's the top grossing film of the year.
Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh, because it comes out this year. That's right.
Sorry.
No, you're right. Trump card. So let's talk about Guardians Volume 2. We've all seen it, and this is where the spoilers start, folks. So if you stuck around for the news and you don't want to hear any spoilers about Guardians 2, now is the time to switch this off and maybe put on, I don't know, Vault of Midnight's Super Skull podcast. They're pretty good. Yeah. I like those guys. But Guardians Volume 2, John, you and I saw it in IMAX opening night. I actually went with Stacy to a 2D showing last night so that she could discuss it with us today.
How was it in 2D?
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. Normally, I don't like 3D. The IMAX was better. It was just better.
This was filmed specifically for IMAX 3D.
Right.
So that's why I asked.
There were some, I won't lie, in the 2D, there were some like sound issues. You know, there were some parts where I couldn't hear really well what was going on that were crystal clear in the IMAX. Mm. So I don't know if that was that the film didn't translate well when it was, I guess, scrunched down for the smaller screens. But again, it's still the same hilarious film. And I think that's what most of us took away from it, is this movie is funny as hell.
Mm-hmm. It's very funny. I guess I'll go straight to downfalls, is that you didn't get any lead into Thanos or anything like that, but this movie is technically supposed to take place in like 2 months after the original, and I think the events of Civil War are after that, so it might actually be a reason why you don't see anything. And I believe Gunn even said that we're not putting any Thanos or anything to lead into anything up to the next movies in this one. This is going to be standalone, but he lied.
Right. Because as those of you who are smart and stuck around for the entire five post-credits scenes, there's a lot to decompress from that alone. We'll get to that in a minute. Stacey, what were your thoughts on Guardians 2?
I can definitely see why you guys are saying that it was filmed specifically for 3D. Because there were some pretty cool scenes, like when the arrow is flying around killing all those people.
Yeah.
That would have been really cool to see in 3D. When
it was.
That would have been really, really
cool.
That
whole scene was fantastic when everybody's falling and,
yeah.
and you see them walking down. Like, in 3D, that was great. Yeah.
Yep. Exploring the planet, Ego, that would have been really, really cool in 3D. So I can see why those things. Because there were parts of it where I was just like, man, this feels kind of flat. Which, I guess, pun intended on that. I'm the only one who thinks I'm funny, apparently.
I gave you the look, which is not a visual
Y'all
medium,
are on
but
your phones.
Like,
get off your phones
like
and listen.
Look at this. Hands up. Don't shoot.
First off, I'm just researching.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, overall, I thought it was great, though. I thought it was super funny. There were parts of it that, I mean, I knew that there was something that I was missing, but I didn't feel like it took away from the film.
Right.
And of course, I am friends with you guys, so you all just explain it to me afterwards.
See?
So that's nice.
We're useful. Yay!
Yeah. I still think one of my favorite things about these kinds of movies, the Guardian movies, is Star-Lord's quips about Earth.
Yeah.
And explaining things to people, but he kind of like plays pranks.
Cheers.
Yeah.
The Cheers.
Cheers.
Thing, yeah.
Or Mary Poppins, like yeah. we were talking about. That
yeah,
was
yeah, the Mary
really
Poppins bit.
What that was fantastic. Scene.
Do you know what this movie did more than anything else? It took a character who was a villain in the first film and immediately turned him into one of the most beloved characters. Yondu is great in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I think Michael Rooker had a lot to do with that, too.
Michael Rooker played the character perfectly.
Because, I mean, it was he's just great at it. And being the father figure to Star-Lord at the end, you're just like, well, he actually saved his life in the long run.
Right.
Eventually.
It was like a 15-minute turnaround from him being this terrible human being, well, whatever he is, terrible person, to him being this savior of everything. And I don't know, I'm kind of mad about it because it really upset me. I didn't want it to end like it did, but totally get why it did.
Absolutely. Again, it's a great film. It's a ton of fun. You're going to have a great time watching it if you haven't seen it yet. There's some stuff to unpack. There's some super nerdy stuff going on in there. So you've got the post-credit scenes. Do we want to go with those first?
Yeah, sure. I was going to say we could do like favorite part or whatever.
Do you want to do favorite part? I mean, sure. what was the favorite part for you, John?
My favorite part was when they were in jail or the cage or whatever.
The brig, if you will.
Yeah, the brig. And it was Rocket and Yondu. And they needed Baby Groot to go get the fin that he should have had in the first movie.
Right.
To be honest, out of the drawer in his captain's quarters that Taserface was guarding. And Baby Groot just came back with the most insane items and could not figure out. He came back with the eye, and he came back with a desk.
That's a desk.
He came back with a toe. Just that whole scene with
Groot's explanation of why he hates hats.
Yeah.
That's why you hate hats?
And it kind of this put down like a, we know for sure that Rocket is verbatim telling what Groot is saying. He's translating exactly what he's saying. It's not like Rocket is
making it up
yeah. as he goes. We now know that that is exactly what Groot is saying. So it's kind of like in Star Wars when Rey does things or BB-8 talks and she can understand the droid, and even Luke can understand R2, I guess.
Yeah.
At certain points where it's like, oh, she speaks droid. Okay. Like, he must speak Groot. And Rocket himself looked fantastic. Like, that is a raccoon. Like, the technology for that is fantastic. Like,
Trash Panda.
When he's touching, yes. Well, when he called him a triangle-faced monkey or whatever.
Yeah.
And he touches his nose, and you're like,
he's all insecure
like,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, you're just like, that is a raccoon. It looks just like a raccoon. And you couldn't, I mean, if you put raccoon, that's why I think in the next one, if they come to Earth, be funny if they like did a scene with an actual raccoon or something.
Well, I haven't read anything about if Rocket is in Avengers Infinity War.
I don't see why they wouldn't be.
Well, and I don't see why you wouldn't put, you know, again, one of the guys who's stolen the movie each time he's been in a scene has been Rocket.
That was my favorite part, though. I was like, I died at that part. It was great. Sitting next to Braven
the Hunter.
Please tell me you have a refrigerator full of severed toes.
Yeah, right?
That was a highlight. I loved the running bit with the root that Nebula kept wanting to eat. Don't eat that. It's not ripe.
I think that joke, that was probably the worst joke.
I loved that
I don't
joke.
Know.
Oh, my God. I loved that joke.
It's not right.
I don't know why. Her just tearing into it.
She looked like such a badass,
too. She's been waiting the whole movie up until this point to eat this fucking root, and she tears into it, and it's not ripe. I thought that went over, like, gang. I loved that. That killed me. Otherwise, I actually think the opening sequence may have been my favorite. You know, not the opening sequence with Ego impregnating, you know,
oh, yeah,
Star Wars mom.
Oh, the fight.
The fight.
With Baby Groot dancing around. That just seems like something in my head that a close personal friend of the show, Scotty Young, would have drawn in a comic.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, you see this big scene, and at the forefront is Baby Groot dancing around through the whole thing. And in the background, you see everyone else kind of getting their asses kicked.
And, you know, people are, like, protecting Baby Groot at the same time in that scene, like, as he's, like, attacking the little monsters.
Did you love Gamora basically momming Baby Groot?
Oh, she was definitely a mom to him.
Hi. Uh-huh. Hi.
Get out of here. You're going to get hurt. I thought Gamora was great in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Like, there was a lot of character development. And if you check out Ben's review at thecourtofnerds.com, he gets into a lot of this. This movie was driven by comedy and character. And it does that incredibly well. You develop so much depth to all of these characters, even Drax. Drax and Mantis is spectacular.
So you had nothing to worry about. We talked about this.
Still think Baby Groot may have been used a little too much as a gimmick.
I don't know, man.
I think they might have gone to it like perfect. A few too many times, but again, that's just me. I don't hold it against the film.
Right.
You know, Stacey, what about you? Favorite part?
Probably the one-liner of Star-Lord saying, "You shouldn't have killed my mom and smashed my Walkman."
She died at that part. Stacey legitimately erupted in laughter at one of the scenes, one of the movie's climactic action scenes. Shouldn't have put a tumor in my mom and smashed my Walkman. And Stacey just lost it.
God, that Zune scene, too.
There's so many.
300 songs on there because all he knows is the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, he knows nothing of Earth past the 80s.
Yeah.
So, it's, you get,
I don't know, ego transforming into Hasselhoff.
That was pretty good.
Well, the whole Hasselhoff bit was great, too.
The fact even that through Hasselhoff the credits. Did that was like, yes.
Or even Drax not knowing the name of the batteries, but being so sure that he knows the name of the batteries. That's not at all what I said.
It's not even close.
You are beautiful on the inside.
On the inside. Drax was great. Look, the post-credit scenes are things a lot of people had questions about because James Gunn went pretty deep into the nerd realm for those. Now, the easy one to unpack, of course, is, and I don't even know if you count it as a post-credits scene, but it's when Kraglin is testing out his fin and trying to fly the arrow like Yondu.
Yep.
And it sticks Drax.
It stabs him right in the freaking heart. Like, yeah. Right in the chest.
Teenage Groot is also an easy one
Teenage
to unpack.
Teenage Groot's awesome.
And,
loved it.
And it was funny because my big thing was,
I am Groot.
And now I know what Yondu felt like.
Yep.
Those were great. The original Guardians.
Yeah.
Now, that's one that probably flew over the head of the non-comic book elite.
Drew is looking at me when he's saying
I'm
that.
I'm staring directly at you, and it's not because you're beautiful on the inside.
That's worse than the flowers.
No,
Let's not talk about the flowers. But in the comic books, for those not in the know, Sylvester Stallone is playing a character named Stakar Ogard, who was one of the original Guardians of the Galaxy alongside Yondu and the others you see at the end of the film all lining up together. A lot of people speculating it's just a tip of the hat saying, you know, hey, this is the original Guardians lineup. But there's some speculation that it might be a Netflix show.
I heard a rumor as well.
What, that it's a spinoff film?
That it's not a spinoff film, that they're going to show up in Infinity War and it's going to be I can't think of the word, but like Thanos is just going to wipe them out and it's going to be like a...
Just like a precursor, like they're the ones that try to stop Thanos before he gets to Earth?
Or what, something, or the fact that it's like to show how strong Thanos actually is, that he's just going to wipe them out. Like, but that would kind of ruin Sly's character.
Right, which almost is a big character,
and,
you know.
You know, but I mean, they throw away characters all the time in this universe, so.
Okay, so Thanos is the big dude who wants the Infinity Stones, right?
Right, with the gauntlet, yeah.
This was the guy in Thor, is that right?
In Thor, in the OG Avengers.
Okay.
Shows up at the end of Civil War.
Yes,
he does.
In
one of the post-credit scenes.
Yep. I just have to do it myself.
He puts it on. It's no stones are in the gauntlet and that gold thing. He puts it on and says, I'll do it myself.
Ask
the questions.
Is this, who's Nebula? Who's her dad? Is that Thanos?
It's Thanos, but they're adopted because he stole them from their OG families.
When he murdered their homeworld.
And then Gamora and Nebula.
Gamora's not actually Thanos' daughter.
Or actually Nebula's sister.
Okay.
But they were raised as sisters.
Okay, so that's a link there that I didn't understand last night.
Right.
Yep.
They're sisters, but they're not actually sisters. Well, they're both stolen from their family.
I kind of figured
Thanos.
That because, yeah. I mean, obviously they just don't even look alike, but I totally missed the whole Thanos thing.
We'll get to the last two big ones here. Stan Lee and the Watchers.
Yeah.
Holy shit, was that awesome. This has been, and Stacey and I talked about this last night, this has been Marvel fanboy theory for a while now, that Stan Lee, in his many Marvel cameos, is actually playing a character that's very important to the Marvel Universe of the Watcher.
Which, surprisingly, they own.
Yeah, they do own the Watchers, which is cool. Because I think the Watchers originally appeared in Fantastic Four comics.
Right, and which also alludes to maybe they're getting the rights back to Fantastic Four.
Or, you know,
or they
Fox
just had
decided
the Watchers
to play nice, yeah. So we'll see. But that was a super cool little shout-out. And they're supposed to just observe and not intervene. So, you know, they weren't saying Stan Lee is a Watcher, but Stan Lee knows the Watchers. And he actually acknowledges that time he was a Federal Express delivery man, which would be, you know, Civil War.
Yep.
So kind of cool that he's acknowledging, and I think that's it, and I hope that's it. I hope Stan Lee is a Watcher. And I hope, and again, we all know Stan.
Informant.
Well, Stan isn't in the best of health.
I mean, he's, what, 94?
Right, and he's filmed his cameos for the next few films already. But I would hope that when he passes, they do some kind of homage to him as the ultimate Watcher who wrote down all the stories of all the heroes. It's a great setup for Marvel. James Gunn plays it perfectly to fit with the movie. So no complaints there. That was perfect.
God, that makes me think about the jumps now. That scene. Holy crap.
The jump scene.
Oh, my God. I think that's where I lost it the most, in the jump scene when they were going through.
Their faces are melting.
And they're going. Not a visual medium. Anyway.
The last of the five credit scenes, post credit scenes we're going to talk about. And yes, there were five post credit scenes. You have to stay through the whole thing. Adam Warlock, Aisha, the High Priestess of the Sovereign, who've been defeated by the Guardians.
This was like the second one, I think. Wasn't it?
It's the third, second or third. I lost track after
in the middle,
a while.
Yeah.
But Aisha is seen waiting to be called before the Council of the Sovereign to be disciplined, basically, to be told that she's in trouble. And it turns out that she is working on a new birthing pod, and she says it's perfect. It'll be her masterpiece. And she says, I'll call him Adam. And this is a shout out to Adam Warlock. Warlock has been a Marvel character since the 60s and is known mostly as being the main, I guess, opponent to Thanos. One of the few characters in the galaxy who can actually rival Thanos for power, blow for blow. Punch for punch. But here's the thing. We've been told Adam Warlock will not be in Avengers Infinity War and will be in Guardians 3, possibly as a villain. So this is a crazy setup. It's a good twist on the character, but I'm really excited to see Adam Warlock show up. It's a character a lot of Marvel fans have been waiting a long time for. So there's Guardians 2. There really were sincerely minimal complaints. I loved the soundtrack. I didn't think that, and I thought maybe after the, you know, massive success of Awesome Mix Volume 1, that Awesome Mix Volume 2 might disappoint. It did not.
It did not.
It did not. Sam Cooke.
I think it played into the movie a little more as well. Like, they used the songs in scenarios better than the original, where it just played into, like, the song where he's singing to him, and you're like, oh, okay.
When they're breaking out of the brig, and Rocket goes, yeah, I got any clones of Quill's old tunes?
Yeah.
You know, it's a part of who Peter Quill is, you know, and it's a part of his character. It's a part of him, is this whole obsession with music. And even Drax acknowledges it. There are beings who dance and beings who don't dance, you know, and that's it. Dancing, music, it's part of Peter Quill's life. And you saw it a lot more in this movie, which is, again, to me, super cool. Really, really liked it. I've seen it twice. There's a good chance I'll see it a third time with the Little McNugget. So
yeah, don't really have any. I can't really think of too many complaints about it.
Yeah,
I think it could have been shorter. Yeah, it didn't. I don't.
It
there could have been.
The middle started to drag a little bit.
I guess, there's
some stuff that could have been cut.
I think most of the stuff that I thought was slow was stuff that was 3D. You know, that they wanted to show off the 3D versions.
Right.
But that was the only thing, like that scene with the arrow killing everybody. That was one where I was like, well, okay.
We've seen it.
That's enough. We get it.
But it almost seemed necessary, like the baseball, like playing catch with Ego. That could have been cut, but it almost needed to be there so you could get the origin of him.
But there was a lot of stuff.
You have to like Ego.
There.
you have to like Ego
before you
can be betrayed by his character.
Did you like the face planet? Because it, like, you didn't see it when they first got there, but when they show the other side of the planet, you see the face on the planet.
Yeah,
that
I
was
saw
pretty
that.
Cool.
All right.
Lots of stuff.
Lots of great stuff. Go and see Guardians Volume 2. And Marvel, if you hear this, you hear those glowing words, hook us up. Let us talk to Chris Pratt. Anyways.
Can I be there?
Pratt. Oh, it'll be on the phone, Stacey.
Yeah, but I want to be here.
I know, but you're pointing at your face like you're going to put your face on his face.
I mean, a girl can dream.
Oh, that's, well, so can a guy. Anyways, let's talk about Free Comic Book Day.
Okay.
Let's just move very quickly onward. Speaking of dudes putting their faces on other dudes' faces, Ben got his Deadpool moment.
Yeah.
Free Comic Book Day, for those not aware, it's just a blast. We ran into a lot of fans at Vault of Midnight, and it was super cool hearing from you guys, you know, how you've followed the show, how you've, I guess, kind of stuck with us through the changes we've made here. And it was really cool hearing that people liked what we're doing now, that people like That's So Braven and, you know, Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood. You know, and that they like what we're doing here. And that was really, really cool. But what was awesome was partnering up with Vault of Midnight to give away a ton of cool prizes to people via the Wheel of Destiny or the Circle of Fate, or as Ben called it, the NBA Dunk Contest Wheel. Because Ben's a crazy person.
I was calling it the Wheel of Doom all day.
Yeah. Big thank you to
Caitlin. I think that's better.
Big thank you to Charlie, Brenda, Handsome Jeff, Tony, the whole staff at Vault who were so welcoming to us. And it was very, very cool to be out there working line. Big shout out to the brothers Weigman.
Yeah.
If you are not reading Scott Weigman's books, you can pick them up at Vault of Midnight. The artwork is unbelievable. And I'm hoping that I'm not breaking any news because he told me this on the street in front of people. Scott will be drawing one of the covers for the new GWAR comic book that's coming out and having some of his work featured inside of it.
Shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's West Michigan stepping up, doing it big right there. Scott will be on the show before the end of this month. Guarantee you that. I can't wait to have him back up here. Just a lot of fun. Great guy to be around. So local creators doing really big things. Really excited about that. We also, Ben and Isaac and I had a chance to swing over to Tardy's and say hi to Gavin and Dee. I'll say this. I'm not kissing up because they're a sponsor. Everywhere we went on Free Comic Book Day, we saw Grand Rapids Comic Con.
They were there.
They were everywhere.
Signing up.
People
tickets.
Gave away a pair of VIP passes for the weekend. And it was really cool to just see this city, to see West Michigan show up so big for Free Comic Book Day. You know, it was one of those events that, you know people are going to show up for free stuff. But the fact that there was a line all the way down Monroe Center, curving around Ionia, going down to a parking garage. I mean, and that line
all day.
I mean, until what? You said it didn't slow down until about what, 2-3 o'clock?
It didn't start slowing down until about then. Yeah, when I left, it was, you know, 30-foot line maybe, but all day. Like, I was asking people at the front of the line how long they've been in line, because kept going by, kept asking questions, giving away prizes. They were like, "We've been in line for about 2 hours."
Yeah.
So it was.
There were people that waited in line even later in the day for 1 hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Handsome Jeff's roommate got there before Handsome Jeff so he could be first in line.
Yeah. Wow. Just again, a super cool event, and we're really excited to be a part of it each year. So keep looking out for that. Keep looking out for more updates from us. Of course, keep your eye on Grand Rapids Comic Con for more updates from them on Facebook and Twitter. Stacey, you were snapping a bunch of pictures at Free Comic Book Day. What was the coolest thing you saw?
I think
besides Isaac flirting with pretty girls.
Oh, I made him go flirt with pretty girls.
Yeah.
I love seeing people dress up for stuff. That's one of my favorite things about Grand Rapids Comic Con. So having people dressed up, looking at comics inside of a comic book store, I don't know, there's something about that warms my heart. I love seeing that.
Yeah, it was cool. There were a lot of great costumes, a lot of kids dressed up. That was super cool. Seeing people bringing out their kids in, like, I saw a bunch of little tiny Totoros. There was a little tiny Spider-Man. There was a kid who already had a Spider-Man homecoming cosplay. Like the kind of like broken down, like when Tony takes the suit away from him and he goes back to the cool stuff. Yeah, and there was definitely a Wonder Woman from the new movie as a kid. And then we had our good friend Mia dressed up as the new Wonder Woman as well, because it kept her warmer.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think that, actually, no, I think she's still making that.
Is she still working on that one?
I think she's still working on that one.
I'm going to get yelled at. Mia's going to yell at me.
Don't yell at us, Mia.
Please?
Thank you.
We would appreciate that. we made a lot of new friends, and we're really happy when we get to do stuff like that, where we get to interact with kind of our nerd community here in West Michigan. So don't worry, we're working on more stuff like that coming your way. That being said, this has been a fun week. Make sure you keep tuning in for Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood. Maybe we'll even get an episode of That's So Braven this week. Who knows?
After dark.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mr. Sledge's after party.
No, that's
Yeah.
Learn the titles of your shows, John.
No, I don't I don't know which one of us is right. Dude, I don't know which one of us is
Either
right.
Either way.
My brain barely brains. Check those out. Ben has some great articles up right now at thecourtofnerds.com. If you haven't checked out his review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, please read that. And he is revisiting the Attitude Era of WWE. It is spectacular. Plus, Grant had a chance to ask some questions of Jeff Loveness, who is a spectacular writer. So check that out, thecourtofnerds.com. That being said, I'm Drew.
I'm Stacy.
I'm John.
We are your Court of Nerds, brought to you by Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Hey, I'm Ben with the Court of Nerds. Sometimes I say things with my mouth and write things with my fingers. You can find us on Facebook, we're the Court of Nerds, on Twitter at court_of_nerds. If you don't mind getting weird intruding pictures in the middle of the night, you can add us on Snapchat at court_of_nerds and our website, thecourtofnerds.com.